All right. Well, again, great to see you. Thanks for being with us this morning. We are back to looking at the I am statements that Jesus makes that are recorded in the Gospel of John. We began looking at the I am statements from Jesus 3 weeks ago. We hit the pause button last week on this series for Father's Day, and today we're back to hitting the play button on the I am series. I know that you've slept since then or a couple of weeks ago, so let me just kind of get your minds thinking again about the significance of Jesus claiming to be I am. It's the name, I am, is the name by which God reveals himself in Scripture. It's his personal name or his proper name. Yahweh is how we translate it. Yahweh comes from that phrase, I am, and it is a phrase or it's a name, I am, that speaks to how God is. He is the God of the present. God is God in this moment is what he was expressing to Moses when he first revealed himself as I am to Moses back in Exodus. He said, I am God. I am is God is the God of the present. He is the God right in this moment, and he is the God of every moment. So what God wants us to know and what God wants us to understand as I am is that there has never been a moment where he has not been God. He is God at this very moment. He has always been God at every moment, at the past, at any point in time, and he will be God for every moment in the future. God is I am. He is the ultimate reality about life. He is the reality that is the ultimate reality. In other words, everything else in life is secondary. God is primary. We're secondary. God is primary. We find our purpose. We find our existence. We find our reality, as well as everything else in the universe. The universe itself finds its reality in God. And so when Jesus comes on the scene in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he wants to reveal himself or his identity and show us who he is. So incarnate God, God dwelling among us as man, wants to reveal himself, his identity, and let us know who he is. He does so by taking the very personal name of God, I am. He wants us to be very clear that he is God, that he is the one true living God, God eternal. 13 different times in the Gospel of John, Jesus declares himself to be I am. So it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a error in his speaking. He very clearly declares himself to be I am. We looked at that several weeks ago in John chapter 8 verse 58, where he says I am, and then 13 different times he makes the statement wanting to be very clear and very matter of fact that his identity is God. And then 7 different times in the book of John, Jesus takes the I am statement and he puts it with another metaphor, if you will, to describe more clearly who he is as I am and who we or how we are to relate to him as I am. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jesus as I am the bread of life. Today, our focus will be on Jesus as the light of the world. His declaration where he says, I am the light of the world. So if you're following along and you like to take notes on the outline, that's how we will begin this morning. Jesus' declaration of I am the light of the world. 2 different times in John's gospel, Jesus emphatically declares, I am the light of the world. The first time we hear Jesus make this statement is in John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8:12, Jesus, it says, spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus makes this statement, I am the light of the world, during the Jewish celebration known as the Feast of Tabernacles. Here in John 8, when Jesus makes this statement, the Jews are celebrating a Feast of Tabernacles, which was a memorial or a way to think back during the Exodus out from Egypt as God led them to the Promised Land. And of course, they stayed in temporary shelters or temporary lodgings, if you will. And then God led them, it says, during the day by a cloud, but at night it was with a pillar of fire. And so part of the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles that they celebrated was they would light four huge candelabra. And they were lit to such an extent that you could see lights all throughout the city of Jerusalem from the temple that these candelabra were lit in. They were lit on the in an outer court where no matter where you were in the city, you could see the lights from these candelabra. And the Jewish people, they would dance around these lights, even holding lights or torches in their hand, singing and praising God, remembering when God led them out of bondage in Egypt to the Promised Land, as God led them with a pillar of fire. And Jesus declares, as this celebration is happening and as people are celebrating the lights, as God, as the pillar of fire being the light, Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. And then he, in John chapter 9, verse 5, reemphasizes or restates his declaration when he says, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. It was a stunning and it was a bold declaration once again by Jesus about himself, because when he declares, I am the light of the world, he was clearly identifying himself in a way that everyone in his audience, every Jewish part of his audience would have known right away that Jesus was making a declaration about himself being God. And so when Jesus declares, I am the light of the world, here's what he's declaring. And make no mistake about it, it's really as clear as he could have possibly made it, but he's declaring two very distinct things. What Jesus was declaring when he says, I am the light of the world, there were two realities that he wanted us to understand. Number one was Jesus was declaring himself to be the Savior of the world. This was a clear identifying statement of Jesus saying, I am the long-awaited promised Messiah, Savior, that the Old Testament said would come, that the prophets, the writings, the Old Testament predicted would come and save the world. Well, that reality is now here. That reality now, Jesus is saying, stands before you as the light of the world. And we know that this was a recognition of him being the Messiah, because if you go to places like Isaiah 49:6 that I referenced there on your outline, God, in speaking about the Messiah, about the servant that was to come, the Savior of the world that he was going to send, he says this, he says, I will make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. And so when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, he is saying the light of the nations that has been promised to you is now here. That light that was promised as the Messiah, as the Savior of the world, has now come and is standing before you as the light of the world. And not only was Jesus declaring himself as Savior of the world by saying, I am the light of the world, but two, Jesus was once again declaring himself to be God. And any Jewish person who understood or who had read the Old Testament, read the writings, the scriptures, would understand Jesus statement, I am the light of the world, as being a very clear reference to God. Not only the I am, but the being a light. Because Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The word Lord used here is God's covenant name, Yahweh. So the Lord is my light. Yahweh, or I am, says, I am your light. And so Jesus comes along and he says, I am this light. Yahweh, Lord, I am the light that Scripture has spoken toward. Jesus is saying, I am not only your salvation, but I am the light of the world. I am Yahweh, your God. If you choose not to believe in Jesus as God, that is certainly a choice that you have every right to make. You can be wrong if you want to, but you can make that choice. What you can't say is that Jesus never declared himself to be God. I told you this a couple of weeks ago, but let me repeat it again. If you do any kind of serious, it doesn't have to be super serious. If you just do kind of any reading at all of Scripture, of the Gospels specifically, and you come away with an honest intellectual understanding of everything that Jesus claimed to be, there is no way you can honestly say Jesus did not claim himself to be God. Now, whether you want to believe that or whether you don't is up to you, but you can't say that Jesus didn't declare himself to be God. Jesus believed that he was God. Absolutely, 100%, he believed that to be true. The question you and I have to deal with is, do we believe who Jesus said he is? And he couldn't be more clear in statements like, I am the light of the world, that he is not only the Messiah, the Savior of the world, but that he is God incarnate, God in the flesh. But let's take a few moments this morning to just kind of focus in on the significance of Jesus as light. What does Jesus want us to understand besides the fact that he's the Savior, the Messiah, besides the fact that he's God when he says, I am the light of the world? What is significant about the fact that Jesus is light? How are we today in the year 2020 supposed to take this statement, I am the light of the world, given by Jesus, and relate that to who we are today, or more specifically, how we relate to him personally in our relationship with him today? And so let me give you three significant ways or truths about Jesus being the light of the world that are important for us to see and understand today. First is this: as light, Jesus is the giver of eternal life. As light, Jesus is the giver of eternal life. This certainly lines up with Jesus being the Savior of the world, and as the Savior of the world, who is the light of the world, he is the giver of life, giver of life eternal. If you back up to John chapter 1, and you look at verse 4, John chapter 1, verse 4, John says this, in him, referring to Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. So there is a connection being made here between life and light. In Jesus, there is life. There is everlasting, abundant life. And when the life is imparted to us, to mankind, to men and women, to boys and girls, then that life becomes light. It's like we are in the darkness, and then all of a sudden, a light is flipped on, a switch is flipped, and all of a sudden, we are now out of darkness, and we are in the lights. We were once blind, but now through the eternal life that we've been given in Jesus Christ, we now can see. Life and light are connected. To have life is to be able to see clearly. To have light where you can see clearly means that you have life, life eternal, abundant, eternal life. When you follow Jesus as your light, you are given eternal life. That's what it means for us today, just like it meant back in the day that Jesus said it, that life eternal happens only through Jesus Christ. He is the light, and connected to that light is life itself. So if you go back to John chapter 8, verse 12, this is what Jesus says. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life. Same thing that John said in verse 4 of chapter 1. If you remember back again to the Exodus when the Israelites were following the pillar of fire being God himself, they are being led by the pillar of fire out of bondage in Egypt, and they're being taken where? To the promised land. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to understand, being the light of the world. He is declaring that as a light of the world, I am a light that needs to be followed. And when you follow me as your light, you will have the light of life, or you will have the light that will give you life. You will have life eternal. If you go to John chapter 5, verse 24, John says, or Jesus says this, truly I say to you that he who hears my word and follows him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. That's what the light does for us. It gives us life, and it passes us out of death and into life. Whoever believes or whoever follows, as Jesus says there in John 8, 12, will be given life, will be given the light of life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I've come to give life and to give it abundantly. And again, he's referencing eternal life. Jesus, as the light, brings and gives abundant eternal life. He is the source of this life. And our physical world that we live in, we are dependent upon the sun, right? By the way, it's beautiful sunsets during that. I know we have a dust storm, but there's a positive. You kind of saw last night, beautiful sunset. But we are dependent on the light from the sun, yes? If the sun ceased to be, then what would happen to life here on earth? It would cease to exist. We are 100% dependent on light from the sun in order for life to exist here on this planet. That is what Jesus is saying about himself as the light of the world. He is the source of life. As the light, Jesus is the giver of life, eternal life. Apart from him, there would only be darkness and death. There would be no life. So you want to know how this relates to us in the year 2020? It's the exact same as it was in Jesus's day. You want eternal life? You want to have life abundantly? Then it will only happen as you are connected to the life source, which is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It has not changed. The same eternal life that Jesus brought in the incarnation during his days where he was walking on the earth is the same life that is being offered today, because he is still the light of the world. He is the giver of eternal life. And then a second significant truth as Jesus being the light of the world is this. As light, Jesus is the revealer of truth. He is also the revealer of truth. One thing that light does is it chases away the darkness, or it overcomes the darkness. Have you ever noticed that light defeats darkness every time? Doesn't matter how dark it is. Doesn't matter how heavy the darkness is or how thick the darkness is, when exposed to light, light wins. It defeats the darkness every single time. Any amount of darkness will be overcome by light. Even the darkest of nights doesn't stand a chance against the inevitable arrival of the sun. Right? So it can be the darkest night you can imagine. The moon might be obscured and there be nothing but pure darkness. But the moment the sun begins to rise, the darkness does not stand a chance. Everything that the rays of the sun touches, the darkness flees from. As the light of the world, Jesus chases the darkness from our life. Jesus wants to remove the darkness and begin to reveal truth. Because one of the things that Scripture associates darkness with is distortion of truth or hidden realities that are meant to be kept from us being able to see who Jesus is or what the truth is. That darkness tries to hide, it tries to veil, that evil tries to veil truth. And Jesus says, I've come as a light of the world to reveal truth. And in our day and age, do you think that we need to hear truth today? Absolutely we do. And Jesus is just as much today the revealer of truth as he was when he was here on this planet walking around with us. You want to have clarity to what life is about. You want to have clarity to how you need to live and what will bring blessing to your life rather than pain or harm. You want to have clarity on what will be better for you than what will be harmful to you, then Jesus is the one who reveals that truth to you. When you follow Jesus as your light, you will no longer walk in darkness. That's what Jesus tells us there in verse 12, again, of John 8. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. When Jesus is our light, we no longer have to stumble around in the darkness, stubbing our toes on lies that are hidden or on things that are there, but we can't see them. Have you ever stubbed your toe in the dark? It's a painful experience. I did that pretty bad here. It was a year or so ago. I got up to go to the restroom in the middle of the night. The room was dark, and someone who will remain nameless left a vacuum cleaner in our bedroom that was not supposed to be there, and I nailed the thing, left a bruise on my toe for weeks on end, all because what was obscured or hidden in the darkness caused me to stumble, caused me to run into something that had the lights been on or had there been light shining on it, I would have been able to see it much better. That reality is exactly what happens in life, is that this world that we live in, it's in so many ways, it's evil and it's dark and there's so many hidden lies and deceptive elements to it that if we don't have light shining in the midst of the darkness, then we are going to only stumble. That is what Jesus says in John chapter 11, verse 10, when he says, if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles. He stumbles because the light is not in him. He says in John chapter 12, verse 35, he who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. And when we're walking in darkness, we don't know where we're going. And it's hard to navigate and to see and get around and avoid the pitfalls and avoid the harmful parts of life. With Jesus as your light, you will see life much more clearly. That's what it means for Jesus to be the light of the world, is he wants to bring illumination to our lives so that we can more clearly see the path ahead, so that we can more clearly discern truth, so that we can more clearly be able to identify the things that are harmful, that are destructive. Through Jesus, everything will look different because he will bring an illumination that the rest of the world won't be able to see or know or understand, because they're going to be groping around in darkness. But for those of us who are in the light, who have actually become children of the light, to us, God has given a illumination. He's given us a ability to see and to navigate and to make our way through life, so that we will be able to know right from wrong. We'll be able to make better life choices and decisions that will bring blessings to our life rather than harm to our life. If you look at it, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now," it says, "you are light." So when you put your faith in Christ and you put Him as your light source, trusting Him as your Lord and Savior, it says, "You will no longer be darkness, but now you are light. You will walk as children of light." And when we follow Jesus and we become a child of His, then we become children of light. We begin to walk as children of light, meaning that the light of Christ begins to shine in us, so that we are a light source to this world. We are a light source that the rest of the world will begin to see. There's something different. There's something different about how they live, about how they act, about how they treat each other, about how they love each other. There's a different truth that they seem to be living by, rather than the lies that the rest of the world is living under. And as His word becomes, as Psalm 119, 105 says, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, we will begin to navigate this world completely differently, as we have a much clearer perspective as the light source of Jesus Christ. The light of the world begins to reveal truth to us, so that we might walk in the light as Jesus Himself is the light. And then a third significant truth that Jesus as light means is that light, Jesus exposes the darkness. So He's not only going to reveal truth, He's not only going to uncover lies, but Jesus is going to expose the darkness. He's going to expose the sin. He's going to expose evil that darkness wants to hide. In John chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, Jesus says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who participates or practices in the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." You see, when you follow Jesus as your light, He reveals your sins, and in doing so, He's going to bring you out of the darkness. And this is a good thing, because verse 20 of John 3 again says, "For everyone who does evil hates the light, does not want to come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." So one of the things that people don't like about Jesus as the light is that He exposes our sins. He exposes our faults and our failures, and He forces us to confront our sinful behaviors, our sinful thoughts, our sinful actions, which is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. It's like having your cancer diagnosed early, so that you can see that there's a problem there. Or whether it's early or whether it's late, you want to know, hey, there's a problem. There is something deadly in my body that needs to be dealt with, or needs to be eradicated, that needs to be gotten rid of. And the good news is that Jesus says, "I'm the remedy. I want to diagnose you. I want to expose your sin in your life so that I can remove you out of darkness and bring you into light." Jesus wants to expose the sin in our lives because He knows how deadly our sin is. So He exposes the sin that the darkness wants to hide. And then according to 1 Peter 2:9, He calls us out of that darkness to come into His marvelous light. Or as Colossians 1:13 says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son." Once we are rescued from the domain of darkness and we are transferred into the kingdom of Jesus, who is the light of the world, and we become children of light, we become sons and daughters as light, and then as a child of the light, we begin to lay aside the deeds of darkness. We begin to put those away. We don't want to continue to participate in those because we know that those actions in the end only bring harm, only bring destruction. So as a child of the light, you want to lay aside your sins. You don't want to continue in your sins. You want to lay aside your sin and you don't want to remain in the darkness. As in Romans 13:12, it says, "Let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." And Ephesians 5:11 says to not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. See, sin wants to keep the light from shining. Sin wants to continue to veil the beauty and the wonder of who God is in our life. He wants to, or the devil, the evil one, the enemy, wants to keep the light of Christ from shining brightly, but we as children of light want to begin to lay aside everything that is dark so that the light can be more clearly exposed in and through our life. You know, I was recently reading about a story during Hurricane Harvey. You remember Hurricane Harvey a couple of years back in 2017 that just devastated Houston and in that whole coastal area? And right as soon as the hurricane hit, of course, electricity went out. People were without power for days and weeks on end. But it was talking about soon after the storm hit, there was one particular house in a neighborhood who was prepared for the storm, and they had a generator. And so every night when the generator came on, this house would be lit up. And for blocks on end, you would see light streaming forth from the windows of this house. And the light would just pierce the darkness because all around it was nothing but dark. And yet there was a light source coming forth from this house that pierced the night or that pierced the darkness. And it really is a beautiful picture of how we should be as believers of Christ. We are to stand out and shine in a dark and evil world that is around us, where there is oftentimes no light because it's being veiled, it's being hidden through sin and evil. God says, "I want my children to shine. I want their light to shine brightly so that others will see and know who I am. I'm the light of the world." And when we lay aside our deeds of darkness and we begin to live out a relationship with Christ, following his truth, following who he is, following what he's given us, what he's commanded us, then we will begin to have our lives no longer defined by the sin of darkness, but by the life-changing light, who is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And I'm just here to tell you, and I don't think I would get much argument here, our world today needs desperately to see the light of Christ. And the way that the world is going to see the light of Christ is through the children of the light. Through you and through me, those of us who have given our light to Jesus Christ, that's where his light will begin to shine in this dark world. And if we're allowing his light to shine through us, then people will better see and know what it means for Jesus to be the light of the world. Let me close by just sharing the significance of Jesus, not just as light, but as the light of the world. The light. Again, in John 8:12 and 9:5, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. I am the light." So he is not a light in the world. He is the light of the world. And there's a big difference right there. If we just say Jesus is a light, well, then that would mean that there might be other lights. There might be other sources. But Jesus doesn't say I'm a light. I am the light. In other words, he is the only light for the entire world. There is no alternative. Amen? It is either Jesus or it is darkness. There is no third alternative. There is no other light. He is the only light of the world. And this means, too, that everyone in the world needs Jesus as their light. There's no one in this world who doesn't need Jesus as their light. They may not know that they need Jesus as their light. They might refuse to accept Jesus as their light. But every single person needs Jesus as their light because he is the light of the world. Jesus is the only one by which people will be able to experience the light of life. Only in Jesus will someone experience the light of life. There is no eternal life apart from Jesus. If anyone is going to have life, they will only have it in Jesus Christ. And then finally, Jesus is the light of the world means, as the light of the world, one day Jesus will return to fill the whole world with his light, driving out the darkness and making all things beautiful, or making all things right. Everything will find its proper place. Everything will be exposed for the beauty that it is, that God created it originally to be, only as the light of Christ fills the world. Jesus as the light of the world means that he is the light that is intended to fill the entire world. And one day, he will. One day, he will. There will be a day when his light will completely drive out all darkness, and all things will find their fulfillment and their beauty and their place only in his light. In reference to this day, Revelation 22:5 says, "And there will no longer be any nights, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever." The they reigning forever and ever is us. That's believers. And the light source on everything will be Jesus Christ, because he is the light of the world. He is the light that this world was meant for. And one day, this world will be filled with the light of the world. The question for each of us this morning is this: is Jesus your light? Is Jesus illuminating your life as the light of the world? Is Jesus, as I am the light of the world, forever changed who you are? Let's pray together. Father, it is my prayer that as Jesus is the light of the world, that God, we would be forever different. We would be forever changed. That we would have a light source that forever makes us different. As our own sin is exposed, and we lay the sin at the cross, at the feet of Jesus, and receive and accept his forgiveness. As truth is revealed to us, and life becomes clear, and as life is given to us, and a light is put on so that we might be able to better see and know and understand who you are, who we are in relation to you, and who you've called us to be. I pray that the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ, would shine brightly through us as your children. And that, God, you would use us to be difference makers, because our life has forever been illumined by the light of Jesus Christ. If there's anyone, God, who doesn't know you, who's listening this morning, they don't know you as the light of the world, I pray that today would be the day that they would receive eternal life that they would receive the light of life. And that, God, they would be able to better know and understand all that you have for those who've put their hope, their faith, their trust in Jesus Christ. And I pray it and I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.